God in his holy place, God who maketh men of one mind to dwell in a house. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember reading once in a spiritual treatise, I think it was back in my seminary days, a very touching story, I thought. It took place in the time of World War I on a certain battlefield. And you know the Germans were on one side and the French on the other. And it so happened that a German, who was also a Catholic, had been shot and mortally wounded. He was now dying on the battlefield. And he did what every good Catholic must do at the moment of death. He prayed. He prayed the Hail Mary for a good and holy death. He prayed to Our Lady. But he got halfway through, and then he died. He was not able to finish that Hail Mary. But there just happened to be, providentially, another man. He was a Frenchman, the German's enemy. And the Frenchman was also Catholic. He was laying also, I believe, wounded right beside the German on the battlefield. And he finished, in all charity, that Hail Mary that the German had just begun. And what an act of charity. And I thought that this was an impressive story because of the fact that though the German and the Frenchman were enemies, they had their political differences, they were perhaps just moments ago firing bullets at each other and fighting over what they believed to be right and the other to be wrong and all of that. Though they had all of those differences, they were united in one way, that was by the faith, the unity of the Catholic Church. So you see in that one concrete example of the unity of Holy Mother Church, that someone can overcome all of their natural differences in order to have unity in faith, unity of charity. And this is something to consider in the Holy Catholic Church, that all of these nations all over the world with so many differences, their differences of nationality, of course, their difference of the color of skin, their races, their political backgrounds and differences, all of their strong passions, their natural characteristics, their jealousies, and everything else. All of those things are transcended and overcome, and these people are united at the altar of God. They're united by their faith, by their beliefs, which God had revealed to them. And so it often happened in times of war that you would see all of these different men, so many different backgrounds, together at the same altar. You would see soldiers and their prisoners. You would see civilians of all backgrounds at the same altar. Something like you all. You all have different backgrounds and different tastes and different opinions, but yet here you are, before the same altar of God, believing the same doctrines, worshiping the same way, and all of that. You would see it all over the world, before Vatican II particularly. If you walked into Rome and St. Peter's Basilica, well, certainly men of all over the world would come and worship under the same roof, overcoming all of their differences of opinions to worship God. You'd see it at all of the famous shrines, the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes, at the Eucharistic congresses that would take place when the popes would call them together. And this unity of the Church is a great miracle of God. It is nothing natural, but a supernatural act for all of these men to come together, overcoming their differences and being united in the faith. To sort of give an analogy or to help you understand this more, think of your own households or your own relatives, how many differences there are, how many of you can keep complete and perfect peace in just your own household, within your own family circle. Well, there's hardly a one of us that doesn't have some strife, some kind of fighting going on in his own family, be it with close relatives within the very same house or other relatives, your uncles and aunts and cousins and all of that. If you can't keep unity there, then how can it be only a natural thing to keep unity among so many men from so many countries? That's a miracle of God that the unity of this sort can exist in the Church. And only our Lord can do that, no one else. And only God can make, as it says in the introit of today's Mass, make men of one mind to that extent. One priest said that this is the vast love of the Sacred Heart drawing all men to itself and therefore drawing all men near to each other. And they give an analogy to, they say that just as in a physical body, you've all probably heard this analogy before, there are many different parts. There are the arms and the legs and the hands, you have all the nerves and everything like that. Though they have different functions, they're in different places, they're all attached to the same head, and they work for the same common purpose of the preservation of the body, the common good, the health of the body. So it is in the Catholic Church. The Church is nothing more than the mystical body of Christ, and each one of us is a member, a different part. Some of us might be the legs, some might have more important functions, the nerves, or something like that. Others might just be like a little toe or a little pinky finger. But all of us are part of that mystical body. All of us has a different function, a different duty that God has given to us. Yet, all of us work for the same common purpose, the glory of God and the salvation of souls. We are brought together in such a way. And there is nothing that Christ desires and prays for more than this unity of his people. But when he prays, what is he praying for? And he does pray. He's not just some inanimate object in the Blessed Sacrament. He's living, and his heart is beating, throbbing for love of us and for love of his church at this very moment as he sits in his throne in the tabernacle. And he's praying for unity among Catholics. But this unity is this, or rather I should say, it is not this. I mean, what the world teaches of unity among people. You've seen those bumper stickers, I'm sure. The coexist ones, blue with the white letters, and each letter is a different symbol of a different religion. The C is a crescent moon for the Muslims. You have the T is the cross, symbolizing all the Christian religions. Then you have, somewhere in there, you have the Jewish Star of David, and the main religions, they all form one of those letters. And that's their idea of unity, that we all come together under the same banner, yet we can all keep our own forms of worship, our own creeds, and everything else. And we should all just get along and overlook each other's beliefs, but get along. But our Lord doesn't pray for that unity. He prays for the type of unity that gives up its own way of thinking, its own prideful opinions and everything like that, and simply obeys what God has taught and what his Holy Church has always taught. And our Lord prayed one time, it's in the Scriptures, that they all may be one as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We are called to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, you can take all the different things that you read about in the Trinity and try to imitate those perfections to the best that you can with his grace. One of the things is diversity in unity. Three persons, but yet one God. Though they are three persons, they all teach the same things. The Father does not say one thing and the Son says, well, I want to teach this, and the Holy Ghost a third thing. They're all united in what they have revealed to their people, and we as their people must be united in what we believe, believing as the Blessed Trinity and our Lord Jesus Christ has revealed. And our Lord prayed for another type of unity. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And he prays day in and day out for those types of unity. Now, we may use this phrase, the unity of the church, in three senses. I'll just mention them very briefly. There's first of all the essential unity of the church, one of the marks without which the Catholic Church would not be the true church of Christ. And this unity is the oneness of faith and obedience. Of course, we all here believe the same doctrines, those which our Lord has revealed to us and taught through Scripture and through tradition, and which the fathers of the church have passed on to us in all of their beautiful writings. We are also united in obedience to the one same authority, the Pope. What do you say, though? There is no true pontiff now. He is a heretic and cannot be the valid pontiff of the Church. So then what? Is there still unity? Well, of course there is. If there were a true pontiff, then we, by the grace of God, I hope, would be the first to subject our wills and our intellects to what he has taught, because he would be the true vicar of Christ. And so we are still in unity, in union with that, with the chair of Peter, though not with Benedict the 16th. There's another type of unity, as we mentioned, the unity of charity among Catholics, and how often this has been offended and hurt, both in the Church at large and in our each little individual parish church that we might have. This unity of charity is so often forgotten, so often hurt. And you see so many Catholics bickering and fighting and everything else. Satan has done, and remember this, Satan has done all that he can possibly do to destroy the essential unity of the Church, to destroy the faith. He's done a pretty good job of it in Vatican II, but he'll never conquer that one. But he can conquer our charity. And now that he has diminished our numbers to such an extent that we're only a handful here and a handful there, well, do you think he's going to stop his battle, his war? He doesn't want to just see churches diminished. He wants the Catholic Church destroyed. For this, the Catholic Church is the means of salvation. And outside of it, there is no salvation. Satan will do away with it if he possibly can. And the means that he will use to do it is to destroy our charity one to another. Think of that for a while. The third type of unity, though, is in this sense, the sense of oneness and completeness of the Catholic Church. This unity will never be complete until it embraces all the peoples of the whole earth, and this unity has been destroyed or damaged very much by the Eastern Schism, the Protestant Reformation, again at Vatican II, with all of this pride of the heretics who seek to tear apart the mystical body of Christ. Now, to conclude, though, let us remember that it is Christ's desire, it is his constant prayer, that all people be united in the same faith and worship, that of the Catholic Church. Remember, it's a supernatural thing that he prays for, and it is a standing miracle if it can stand up to all that blows against it, that all that tries to destroy it. So we should join our prayers with our Eucharistic King and pray for this unity. But let me give you all special advice, just for here at St. Gertrude's, concerning these three types of unity. I assume already, and I hope, that we're all of one mind in this house, the house of God, that we believe what our Lord has taught, nothing more, nothing less than what God has revealed to us and the Church proposes for our belief. But I ask you to examine your conscience. How have you helped the unity of the Church along by your charity, or how have you destroyed it? How do you speak to your fellow Catholics? How do you backbite or any of those things? What do you do to bring people together by your charity? And then what do you do to harm the third type of unity, the completeness? What do you do to bring, by your good example and your prayers, non-Catholics into the true fold of our Lord? And what have you done to harm it? What bad example have you given by all of your fighting and bickering and backbiting that has so often pushed so many non-Catholics farther and farther away from Holy Mother Church? And once you've examined your conscience, make the resolutions. You know what to do. Let us be charitable and let us unite ourselves both in faith and in charity under God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.